When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 37 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And they still say I'm Sarah.
And this, I'll never get over it. This episode is sponsored by Emily and Paul Dewey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today we will be discussing chapter 14. Is that a bell?
Sure.
All right. Of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, Cornelius Fudge. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to dive into the details. Before we begin, let's go to Megan for all your social media needs.
Hey, I've got all the social media dibs here. You can find us on all social media channels, Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook or Swish Flick Cast on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Make sure that you join our Facebook group for discussion as well. The community grows every single day, and it still is mind-blowing to me how awesome everybody is on there, so thank you. Also, make sure that you head on over to our YouTube and subscribe. Not only do all of our podcasts go up there, but we also have weekly vlogs. So follow us on our crazy Potterfield adventures. Subscribe, like, share, and comment. You can also join us on Patreon for exclusive access to the Felix Files, a Google Hangout session, and you can even be a guest on the Felix Files. So head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast and choose your support level. Shout out and huge thank you to all of our current patrons. You make this podcast possible with your support.
Thanks, patrons.
You guys are awesome.
No, y'all suck.
That was not really Sarah. That was, what is it? What's your name backwards?
Yeah.
Yellamo.
Harris.
Oh,
is just
it
kidding.
Time?
We genuinely appreciate you guys listening and all that fun stuff.
It's true. Is it time?
Mm-hmm. No. Yes. I thought you were going to do your little rap, and I was like, no, not yet. I still have to do my news.
No, not yet.
Okay. So, weekly
Oh, wait, hold on.
What?
If you wanted to record my face, you could get out your phone. The recap.
I will. I'll be ready.
All right.
So our weekly profit this week, there was an announcement that the Warner Brothers Studio Tour is doing a special Goblet of Fire exhibit. And of course it's ending right before Katie and I get there.
Of course.
But it's going through, like, I think the end of September, and they have special items from the Goblet of Fire that are there that you can see. I know some of them, actually, we did see at the celebration of Harry Potter. Like, they're having the portkey boot, they're having the omnoculars, some of the design stuff from the Triwizard Tournament, which is all stuff that we got to see at the celebration weekend, which is really fun. Oh, like, and the Goblet of Fire, right?
Ooh.
Important.
That one.
But they're also going to have, like, the prefix bathroom taps, and they're, like, all rainbow-colored, and, like, water's coming out of them.
Yeah, I saw that picture.
And that looks really pretty. And let's see. What else are they going to have? Oh, they're actually going to have, like, the age line with Fred and George's, like, costumes from whenever. Yeah. For whenever they aged extra after they got kicked out from the age line when they tried to enter.
When they aged extra.
Well, they did. And then also in the miniature scale of Hogwarts that they have all the time, they're having the Beauxbatons carriage.
Oh.
What?
Will be, like, flying over Hogwarts.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I'm kind of bummed that we're missing it, but at least we got to see some of the stuff in Florida, so it makes up for it.
And if you want to see it, hop on over
to the studio tour until the end of September and take pictures and share them on our page, and I want to see them.
I was going to say our YouTube channel. That works too.
What?
The stuff you already saw.
Yeah, we saw it.
Oh, yeah. If you want to go see the stuff we did see, you can head over to YouTube.
Meg's like, yeah, hop on over to London.
In her defense, she worked all day. It's 7:30.
Yeah, for real.
We're not going to be the sharpest tools in the shed today, guys. Sorry. And we should say, like, if we do sound a little bit different, that's because we're doing this via Skype. Schedules just didn't really work out to record together. So. Yeah.
And if I, Katie, sound extra different, you know, extra dulcet, low tone, got a cold. Sorry.
Dad.
It's okay.
All right. I see your anticipation. I see the wanting. Sarah backed up. We know it's getting real. It's the recap.
Oh, she did it like half off camera for us, man.
No, I got it.
Okay. All right, recap. So Harry found a washed up diary in Myrtle's bathroom, and he later discovers it was much more than just a plain old diary. And after a pretty terrible Valentine's Day, thanks to Lockhart, the diary spills the beans on the Chamber's secrets. Tom Riddle takes Harry back 50 years, and Harry discovers Hagrid opened the Chamber of Secrets.
Blasphemy.
Oh, no.
That's a lie.
We don't know that.
Yeah, we do. This podcast is full of them spoilers.
All right, so Harry tells Ron and Hermione what he found out from the book, well, the diary, and before they know it, it's the morning of the Hufflepuff versus Gryffindor match. Harry hears the voice again on his way to get his gear, and just as the match is about to start, McGonagall cancels it. What? There has been there's been another attack. Hermione has been petrified, so Harry and Ron go to see Hagrid. While they are there, they witness a few official things, and it ends with a howl. Awoo! That's not a good howl, but...
Awoo!
Your summaries are just getting spicier and spicier as time goes on.
You know I love what? It.
I make people howl, so.
Howl! Oh! Howla!
It's a howla.
Florence has arrived.
Goodness. Here she is. Or did she ever leave?
Nah.
Say it.
But Florence is always here.
All right, so we start our chapter with a little recap of the history of Hagrid.
A little what?
Because
you don't have to
recap. I didn't even think about that. Good one, Katie.
Thank you.
Because Hagrid, I mean, this is only book two. Here comes Sarah. Go, just say it.
He's the Bow.com. Hagrid is the man.
He owns that website.
Probably does. HagridTheBomb.com.
He doesn't have a good track record with creatures that we know of. And this is only book two. We have to remember that they're saying this and it's book two.
Yeah, just wait.
You just kept saying two.
Oh, okay. Because we have Norberta. Mm-hmm. Or Norbert, for those who don't know that she's actually female.
She's a lady!
A lady! And Fluffy.
I just had to say one thing about Norbert.
Go ahead.
Dragon looks like a lady! She's full of it.
And that is the name of the episode.
We are like not even barely in, and it's already named. You're welcome. Oh, jeez. And the trio knows that Hagrid would probably want to find this poor little creature, let it stretch out, because it's been cooped up for too long, you guys. Mm-hmm. Why not let this creature out? Megan would agree. She's a Slytherin. She says, let him go.
Yeah. Hagrid's not a Slytherin.
Let it go.
Said Megan.
Let it go.
I know, but like, what does it have to do
Can't
with Megan
hold
being
it back
a...
anymore. Let it go. Let it
being
go.
Out of the chain.
As
Get
Megan just goes
and
into herself.
Slam the chamber door.
Oh my god.
What's happening?
So, you know what? I don't know. It's Disney. It's Harry Potter. It's all one.
Yep. This is our life.
It's not true, but yeah.
It's not true, but sometimes it is in this basement. And at their house. So, if you can only imagine a 13-year-old Hagrid trying to fit a leash and a collar around this monster. Picture it, friends.
I'm picturing it, and it's amazing.
I don't think all monsters need leashes. And we know, don't we know that it's an arachnid, or do we not know that yet?
No, we don't know that yet. Oh, wait, no. No, we don't.
We don't. We know that Harry saw what it was that Hagrid had, but he never said, like, what it was.
I mean, but you'd be dumb not to know something that has eight legs and a bunch of little eyeballs.
I'm just saying this is Harry we're talking about. Not the sharpest tool in the shed.
So Harry has some feelings of regret about finding out how the diary works. Because in this case, I feel like ignorance is kind of bliss. Because he doesn't want to have these types of thoughts and feelings about someone that he cares about so much. Which I totally get it. If I found out that... Fozzie Bear opened the Chamber of Secrets, I'd be like devastated, right?
He'd be like, I'm just looking for snacks.
I just need some plants. Hermione and Ron keep making him recount the events of what was happening in the diary. But it's like the same circular conversation over and over again. So I just wanted to, I just wanted to read a little bit from the chapter about their conversation. So it says, Riddle might have got the wrong person, said Hermione. Maybe it was some other monster that was attacking people. How many monsters do you think this place can hold? Asked Ron dully. We always knew Hagrid had been expelled, said Harry miserably. And the attacks must have stopped after Hagrid was kicked out. Otherwise, Riddle wouldn't have got his award. Ron tried a different tact. Riddle does sound like Percy, who asked him to squeal on Hagrid anyway. But the monster had killed someone, Ron, said Hermione. And Riddle was going to go back to some muggle orphanage if they closed Hogwarts, said Harry. I don't blame him for wanting to stay here. There's a connection.
Mm-hmm.
You met Hagrid down Nocturne Alley, didn't you, Harry? He was buying flesh-eating slug repellent, said Harry quickly. And all three of them fell silent. And after a long pause, Hermione voiced the naughtiest question in all in a hesitant voice. Do you think we should go ask Hagrid all about it? Or about it all, whatever. It's all the same.
Okay.
So, she suggests this. And Ron has a really great quote. And he says, that'd be a cheerful visit, said Ron. Hello, Hagrid, tell us. Have you been setting anything mad and hairy loose in the castle lately? And that's a really great quote. And there's a movie-ism that Hagrid hears them say. Him say it.
Yeah.
Not talking about me, are you?
I know.
No.
Which was really, it worked really well for the movie, I think.
Yeah, I did. I like that movie-ism.
Even though, you know, it doesn't really happen, but. So weeks continue to go by without any attacks. 4 months, actually, since Justin and nearly headless Nick were attacked.
Where's Bell Duty? Four. Come on over there. Thank you.
Oh,
we didn't see time. It's like we're in love.
Secret. People know that.
No. I think they already know. I was feeding you popcorn on Instagram Live earlier.
That's an alternative fact.
So Peeves has gotten bored with singing Potter, You Rotter. And I said, how sad, he needs a new song. So, Beverly.
Beverly, write us a new song.
I need you to write us a song these 4 months of a bored Peeves.
That's like the scariest assignment we've given her yet. That's just total freedom.
The thing is like, I feel like it's going to be so good.
Oh, it always is. Never disappoints.
She could write crap on a piece of paper and I would think it was gold.
She's just great.
She's amazing.
She really is.
Yeah.
Megan, yeah. So, and Ernie has started to be nice to Harry in Herbology.
Ernie.
I just thought that was a good note to make. So by the time that March rolled around, the Mandrakes had thrown a raucous party in Greenhouse 3.
Raucous.
And we know that the Mandrakes are getting frisky, which means that they're getting ready to cure the petrified people.
I love that about Mandrakes. They're like, we know they're mature when they're trying to get into each other's pots.
I think that they are some of the coolest creatures that I need to know more about, because the fact that they get frisky is amazing.
But are they creatures or are they plants?
I don't know. Where's our book?
Both. Yeah.
Because if you think about it, do they die of old age and then they cut them up and slaughter, or do they slaughter them in their prime?
We asked this last time, and I think we said that we thought that they chopped them up in the prime.
Yeah.
The prime in vibe.
In the heat of their moment.
Oh, God.
Right people before you're getting you. I don't think we have that book down here right now.
What book are you looking
Fantastic
for?
Fantastic Beasts.
No, we don't. Oh. I don't know. I think they're beasts.
Look it up. Google it.
I'll Google it.
Googling. Okay. So the Easter holidays are upon us in the book, but also last week.
Yeah.
The happy belated Easter, y'all. And that cool little thing that Katie made, right? Katie, you made that graphic.
I did.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So the second years are having to choose their classes for their third year. Which means that we're getting very, very close to
Prisoner of Azkaban!
Yeah! And so Hermione was taking this task very seriously, as we know for the following year, and she was poring over the class list. Harry says that he wants to drop potions. I said, yeah, right. Can anybody actually drop potions?
I don't think so.
No. I don't think so either. That's like super
cool. You have to keep all of your core classes, it says in the chapter.
Yeah. So that's one of those, like, you have to learn regardless.
I think you can drop it in sixth year. Yeah. If you don't get to any WTs.
If you don't need it for what you're going for.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody needs potions, though.
But what if you want to become a divination teacher? You just need to, like, look at a crystal ball and
Like, in high school, I only needed 3 math credits, so I didn't have to take it my senior year.
Yeah.
Or science.
Not take it?
No, I did not.
I didn't take math or science senior year.
Yeah.
I took math, science, and language all 4 years. I didn't do art.
See, that's what I loaded up my senior year
with. Yeah, my senior year, I took, like, 3 art classes.
Like, we had to take history every
guys?
Year.
It was awesome.
I had a year of Spanish my freshman year. I took 3 years of French. And I did 4 years of math, 4 years of science. But I enjoy science and math.
Yeah, I don't know what y'all were doing. I had to take, like, everything. But I was...
I went to public school.
Oh, no one laughed. Okay. All right. Ron wants to dish defense against the dark arts, and I put, you shouldn't, you're going to need it.
Honestly. You don't want to drop defense against the dark arts, because next year you're going to have the best teacher ever.
Not Hagrid, too.
Oh my gosh.
But he never taught defense against the dark arts, so you can't compare him.
She's the world's best teacher.
Aww.
So my heart. Oh my gosh. Is it because we're sitting so close?
Sure.
We're usually across the table.
Yeah. It's unusual to do this so close. It A, is. To a person and B to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've sat closer, though. I don't probably.
Let's talk Harry Potter.
Let's talk about Potter. Okay, so Ron has a really great what is my life, guys? A really great quote. He says, or Hermione is talking about Defense Against the Dark Arts. And she says, "But that's very important," said Hermione, shocked. "Not the way Lockhart teaches it," said Ron. "I haven't learned anything from him except to not set pixies loose."
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ain't but, that the truth?
Yeah.
In his defense, that's completely true.
I forgot he was the teacher this year because I haven't actually didn't read. I only read the section I needed to read.
She's a busy bee. So Neville was receiving many letters of advice from his family members about what classes to choose, and this only confused him. And so he kept seeking out help from other people, like asking them if they think classes sound difficult or not. I think he was talking about ancient runes.
Poor Neville.
And he's like, "Do you think this sounds hard?" People are like, "Well, I don't know." Dean Thomas chose a different tactic. He closed his eyes and poked the paper with his wand to help him choose which classes to take.
I probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Meeny, miny, mo.
And Hermione chose everything.
Of course.
Time Turner.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler.
Major spoiler. And Harry thought grimly of what the Dursley would say if he asked them for advice. But Percy, the man that he is, was eager to give advice. Shocking, no?
But I don't understand why he gives this advice.
He was, like, talking up divination.
Yeah, why?
Maybe that's the only class he's really good at.
Do you have it right off the cuff here? Because I guess I could look it up. So he says, "It's never too early to think about the future, so I'd recommend divination." But, like, what?
Maybe he thinks that they're gonna, like, learn about their future.
That sounds like such a politician answer. Oh my god, you're right. You know?
Consider the source.
Yeah.
He says that Muggle studies is a soft option. Hello, you hate your dad.
I want to hear, though, like, from people with divination. I guess we could get more into it when they're actually in the class, like, tea reading and leave.
Well, I would like to see someone who's consistent. Like, we know that she's a true seer, but her seeing is, like, specific towards, like, one thing.
Well, no, don't you remember there's that, I don't know if it's a Greek myth or if it's a Roman myth.
About Sybil?
About, like, her great-grandmother, her ancestor
was
cursed and said, like, your descendants, like, you'll have a descendant that, like, she can read, like, she is a seer, but, like, nobody will believe her because most of it, you know what I mean? She doesn't, so people might not trust what she's.
I don't know that.
That's interesting.
Find it. That's really cool. That is really cool. So he kind of brings up Arthur, his dad, saying that he has to deal with Muggle business all the time. But, like, I don't think Percy respects what Arthur does at all.
No.
So I don't know. But then he brings up, like, Charlie and how he's more of an outdoor type, so care of magical creatures meant something, like, good for him. And then he says, "Play to your strengths, Harry." Does fake Moody say that, too, as far as the task?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering, because I was like, I remember somebody saying that to him as well. So, obviously, same as Goblet of Fire, Harry thought, well, I'm only good at Quidditch. And so, He just ends up choosing the same subjects as Ron.
That sounds like something I wonder if that is, like, a little bit of foreshadowing for Goblet, though, you know? Like, oh, yeah. I'm only good at Quidditch.
Yeah.
I mean, she's done more with less, so.
Yeah, for
sure. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But also, like, I'm very much about, like, learning. Like, if I could go to school for forever and not have to pay for it, I would, because I love school. But
I would if I didn't have to do homework. Like, I love learning. I like sitting there in a classroom. And, like, I love history classes. Like, I love sitting there and learning about it and reading about it. But writing papers gives me such anxiety that, like,
yeah,
do you need to know that I actually remember this stuff? Like, but I genuinely like sitting there and learning.
Yeah.
No, I get it. Don't give me work to do.
But, like, I also love taking classes with people that I, like, enjoy being around. Yeah. So, like, I would totally.
I'm better with groups classes. Like, doing. Sitting there and doing work with, like, my friends and stuff. Like, because it's better. I learn better that way if I'm, like, helping someone learn. If they're, you know what I mean? If they're sitting there quizzing each other and doing stuff, I learn better that way.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So would you guys choose the same classes as friends?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. But I might actually, like, I mean, I don't know if I would have picked everything that Ron and Harry picked. Like, I think I may have wanted to do ancient runes.
I think I would have been really interested in Muggle studies. Just to see it from, like, the wizarding perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is how a light bulb works.
Yeah, and, like, how do they explain science that? Stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Muggles can do so much more than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own magic.
That's right. Brains. And so...
Right. I don't know.
Brains!
So the next Quidditch match was Hufflepuff versus Gryffindor. Katie, you're going down.
Bring it.
Going down, down, and another round.
I never know all the words to that song.
It's a really fun jazzercise. Sorry, I'm not sorry. Okay, so Wood once practices every single night because obviously he's Oliver Wood after dinners. So now only... The only time that Harry has is Quidditch and homework. That's it. That's all he's got. And Harry was feeling really good about Gryffindor's prospects for winning the Quidditch Cup. But this was some very short-lived cheer because Neville found him and was frantic. Dun, dun.
I found out who it's about.
Oh, let's interject about the... This,
Trelawney.
What is it? Yeah.
So I don't know if the theory is that they're related or if they're just similar, where in Greek mythology, Cassandra of Troy was, according to one story, the god Apollo gave her the gift of foretelling the future and then tried to sleep with her, but she rejected him, and to punish her, he cursed her so that no one would ever believe her prophecies.
That's rude!
And another version of it is Cassandra initially consented to sleeping with the god in exchange for the ability to foresee the future, only to break her promise after she received the gift. After being cursed, she was met with disbelief by her family and by the Trojans. So she, like, was able to foretell the future, but nobody believed her.
So she said she was going to sleep with him and then did it, and then gave her the gift, and then she didn't sleep with him? Or she did sleep with him?
She did not. Both times, I think she rejected him.
Well, good.
But it says, like, she foretold that her that Paris, her brother, would bring about a war that would destroy their city if he went to Sparta. Her brother did not believe her, and upon his return from Sparta with... Menelaus's wife, Helen. Cassandra attacked her for the pain that was about to be caused. She also foretold that Troy would fall by a clever machination of the Greeks, the Trojan horse, in which they would hide. Her fellow citizens did not listen to her words, thus causing the end of the city.
Craziness.
Yep.
She was taken by Agamemnon. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love all of this. I'm going to this is why I should go to school. I love Greek mythology. Even some more. But for, like, stuff that doesn't apply to being a first-grade teacher.
Okay, Megan!
So, Harry was off at Quidditch practice, and then he came back to Neville being quite frantic because their dorm got broken into, basically. He's, Harry, I don't know who did it, I just found... And then he was, like, so scared, he pushed the door open, and all of the contents of Harry's trunk... were thrown everywhere. His cloak was ripped on the floor. The bedclothes had been pulled off.
Yeah, so when it said cloak, I was like, what?
Oh, thinking it was the invisibility cloak. Yeah, thank God it wasn't that.
I don't think him and Ginny would have ended up getting married. Can't forgive a broken invisibility cloak, honestly.
The bedclothes had been pulled off of his four-poster, and the drawer had been pulled out of his bedside cabinet, the contents strewn over the mattress.
I love that it's called bedclothes.
I know, that's so cute.
Yeah, not jammy.
No.
No, like that's like the sheets.
That's like the sheet and like the, like for your bed.
No.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Really?
Because it says the bedclothes had been pulled off his four-poster.
I want to know if that's it.
British friends.
All of our foreign friends and listeners
sheets and
are
blankets.
Laughing.
Oh, it is sheets and blankets.
See, that's so cute.
Sorry, I'm American.
Your bed has clothes.
So Ron noticed that all the pockets of Harry's robes had been turned out, which they assumed meant someone had been looking for something. Harry realized then what was missing. And it was Riddle's diary.
Hermione.
Also, wait a minute. This is foreshadowed a little bit, like with how girls can go into the boys' dormitory without being detected.
Yeah. Yes. So Hermione looks the most like upset or confused about this news because she's like, "Oh my gosh, that means only a Gryffindor could have stolen it."
Dun dun dun.
So that's pretty crazy. I mean, we already know who it is, but, like, can you imagine being like, oh, this has to do with Slytherins, and then you're like, wait, somebody just stole the diary and it had to be a Gryffindor.
Yeah.
So.
That's kind of, like, super creepy.
Yeah.
Because, I'd be scared.
Only the trio really, well, aside from Ginny, because you can't really count her, but, like, only the trio really knows, like, what that kind, they don't know exactly what it is, but they, like, know what it entails.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like, how freaked out, like, would you be?
Yeah.
Ugh.
So, the next day, after losing the diary, was the Quidditch match against Hufflepuff. Woo! And Harry's not in a good mood, which he never seems to be in a good mood on Quidditch game days.
He's nervous.
Listen, yeah. Harry's got lots of troubles in his life, okay?
Does he?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. And all he kept thinking about was, is the thief sitting with us at breakfast? Like, who stole it? And Hermione kept telling him to report it, but he's like, do I really want to explain that to somebody? Like, what this diary is and all that kind of stuff? So, And also, like, how many people even knew about Hagrid, and, like, what if they found out, and he just didn't want to go down that path, and I don't blame him for that. I probably wouldn't either. Report it. So then, as they were leaving the Great Hall, Harry hears the voice again.
Uh-oh.
Kill this time, Sessions.
What?
That's my,
I thought you were legit gonna say, kill the spare.
Let me rip tear. All right, but anyway. Hermione clapped a hand to her forehead immediately as soon as Harry brought up hearing the voice again and was like, Harry, I think I've just understood something. I've got to go to the library. And fun little fact, this quote that Ron says... when in doubt, go to the library. So there's this, like, foundation that the Harry Potter Alliance it's the Harry Potter Alliance, and they have a store, and they have that on a t-shirt, and I love that t-shirt, because they do this thing where they, like, collect books every year for, like, book drives, and I just think that it's, like, so cool to have been reading the book, and then I was like, oh my god, that quote from Harry Potter Alliance. I don't know, side note. Anyway, so Harry's like, what the heck could she have understood from me saying that? And Ron's like, who knows, like, just let her do her thing, basically, and they just forget about it and then go to the match. But Harry, he was trying to listen for the voice, but didn't hear it again after that, and then just, like, went down to the pitch for the game.
Yeah. Then the castle get too loud, like everybody.
Yeah, everybody's like hustling and bustling to go down to the pitch. So he was like, "Oh, forget it. I'm not gonna hear it."
Do you guys think, honestly, out of like who else could be a parcel mouth? You know what I mean? Like, I know it's a rare gift, but like, how many are there really?
Well, how many students are at Hogwarts in a given year?
Not that many.
So probably not that he might have been the only one.
I wonder
If you took the entire wizarding population, there might have been a couple. Jay or Joe, how many parcel tongues, mouths are in one generation?
I just want to know.
In the wizarding world right now, at this very moment, what's the population and how many out of the population are parcel mouths?
I bet it's could like
speak
two.
To, I almost said speak to tongues. Could he speak to snakes after the, see? So maybe nobody. Who knows?
I just think
that maybe what's-her-face's his daughter could.
What?
What's her name? Voldemort's daughter? Delphi?
Oh, Delphi. Probably? I mean, how many people in the riddle line could? I mean, what's-his-face?
Oh, yeah, all three of the gaunts could.
Yeah, the gaunts, yeah.
So I bet you she could.
Cursed child,
you're
too.
You're right.
Speaking of snakes.
So, Harry's about to mount his broom, and that second, McGonagall comes marching over with an enormous purple, thank you, megaphone, and the match was canceled. And obviously, Oliver is devastated.
Why is she using a megaphone?
I was going to ask the exact same question.
Yeah, can't she use that sonorous?
I bet you she's just, like, so frazzled right now because like somebody from her house just got petrified.
Isn't that technology though, or no?
No, because I bet you it was just like, you know, like the ones that cheerleaders use that are like literally just a round thing. Like there's
like,
no.
Yeah, I was a cheerleader.
Well, then you should
know. Was it just a round thing?
Not like the ones.
I mean,
that
naturally projects your voice.
Yeah.
Like, just the shape.
Were you using it because you're a naturally loud person?
No, I don't need a megaphone. But I actually earned the megaphone award for cheerleading because I'm a loud mouth.
Your friend and I talked about being a cheerleader.
He was in love with me.
So, McGonagall tells everybody that they're to go back to their common room and their heads of house are going to come and give them further instructions. However, she pulls Harry and Ron aside and Harry is wondering immediately how she could possibly suspect him to have done it this time when he was out on the pitch, but
yeah. She
doesn't take him to any office. She takes him to the hospital wing.
Hey there. Right now you're listening to Swish and Flick, but with a switch and a flip, you could find yourself on an unexpected adventure. I'm Lane.
And I'm Iz.
And we're an unexpected podcast, talking Tolkien.
We're just a couple of hobbits.
Or a ranger and a wizard.
Coming to you from the Shire of America.
The beautiful state of Ohio.
And you can join us on an epic reread of The Lord of the Rings and much, much more.
Of course, after you're done swishing.
And flicking.
Check us out on iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher.
And on Instagram and Twitter at UpTalkinTolkien.
And join our Facebook page, An Unexpected Podcast, to join the book club conversation and our fellowship.
There's no telling where you'll be swept off to. We'll see you in the Shire.
And remember, Frodo lives.
Uh-oh. Why, guys?
That's yellow.
Because there was a double attack. Oh, thank you. A 6-year girl who Harry recognized was actually the Ravenclaw that him and Ron accidentally asked for directions when they were Crabbe and Goyle.
And didn't we question if that was Penelope Clearwater in that episode? I thought
that
we did, and this confirms that it was.
It is. But not just her. On another bed, guys. Hermione.
I was so sad.
Yeah, I remember being like, oh my god.
Yeah.
I think I jaw dropped on that.
Yeah, I was sad that she wasn't dead.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding.
Okay,
she's
Malfoy.
Today.
So, both of them were found near the library, and they were found with a small circular mirror lying next to them, and McGonagall's like, do you guys know anything about this? And they're just like, no. I mean, Hermione does Hermione, right? So, Who knows what she was up to?
I don't know why she's got mirrors.
I feel like this part in the book is, like, when you find out Hermione's petrified, it's so short. Like, right after that, like, they're in the common room. Like, you don't even see, like, I don't want to say grieving, but yeah. It's just, like, I don't know if they're just so shocked. Like, what else are you supposed to say about it? But it just feels very brief.
I feel like they're shocked for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. The one, like, because in their eyes, the one person that was, like, really going to help them figure it out is gone. Right. Not gone, gone, but gone.
Right. So, yeah, so now what?
Not able to help them.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, soul-crushing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we cut immediately to Gryffindor common room, and McGonagall's reading all these new rules that all the Hogwarts students have to follow. So, all students have to return to their house common rooms by 6 o'clock in the evening. No student can leave their dormitory after that time. All students have to be escorted to each lesson by a teacher. No student can use the bathroom unaccompanied by a teacher. And all further Quidditch training and matches are postponed, and there's no more evening activities. I do have a question. Maybe you're going to ask it.
No, I was just saying, like, how annoying that you can't even go to the bathroom by yourself.
That's what I'm going to say, though.
Take, like, a major...
What if you have to poo?
Like, what if you have diarrhea?
Like, bad. Or you have the flu and you have to barf.
I don't know. Do they just stand outside the door, or, like...
And where is the bathroom, like, for a lot of them?
Well, if you have to go with a teacher, then I'm assuming that it's not in the common room or in, like, you know...
I'm assuming that there is one in the common room, but, like, they're talking about if they have to use the restroom during classes or something, they have to be accompanied. Mm-hmm. Because I always assumed that they had, like, a bathroom and a shower and that kind of stuff, like, in their dorms.
Yeah. Like a dorm would, like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Do you think...
I always hit, like, when I was at Toledo, I had to leave my room to go to the...
Yeah, so
did
I.
But what I'm saying, but you didn't have to leave, like, your dorm. You know?
Right.
Like, Parks Tower.
Like, you wouldn't have had to leave Gryffindor Tower.
Right.
But we know those bathrooms outside the towers, obviously, because of Myrtle.
Right.
Right.
And those bathrooms don't have showers. So I would assume that there are, like, proper showers and everything, like, in their dorms.
Can I just say that I would be really annoyed if I had magic and I had to shower myself and I couldn't just have a spell?
Ew, like, no, I
clean
like,
your body.
I physically like
do the hair.
I physically like having a shower. Like, I would have to, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but what if you didn't want one? Can't I just say, hey, no, body-o clean-o?
I bet you there's a spell for it, but I bet you also feel better when you have an actual shower, water washing the filth off your body.
What if it is an actual shower?
Yeah, like, it would be really cool if you could just, like, degreasify your hair with a spell.
Dry shampoo-o.
Like, I could save
dry shampoo-o.
Or, like, Lego Shave-o.
Yeah.
You could probably have a spell or drink a potion that would make the hair stop growing on your body.
Yes, that's what I
want. Or, like, a lotion or a salve.
A lotion.
You put it on once a month or something.
I just don't want to shave anymore. That's the real thing right here, guys.
The spell is called Nair.
That's a
bird. I've never used it.
Don't. It'll kill you.
But anyway, do you think... Okay, so clearly you don't want these kids going off on their own, but do you think the bathroom rule is a rule specifically because last time someone was murdered in a bathroom when this was going on?
I'm gonna say... Yeah.
Like, maybe just, like, a little extra, like, you can't do it. Just don't mess around
probably
with it.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, because they know what's up. They right know what skinny is. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you think about it, they don't, because they keep saying that the chamber's not real.
That's true. But they know.
But Dumbledore knows, and Dumbledore is probably the one making these rules.
Well, I don't know, because they didn't know it was the bathroom. Or maybe you're going by the girl died in the bathroom?
Yeah.
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 Alone, and so they're like, oh, you can't do that.
Yeah. I don't know. So, she also tells them that the school is probably going to be closed unless the culprit behind the attacks is caught. So, this is exactly like what Harry saw in the diary with Riddle. And we do find out that that Ravenclaw girl was Penelope Clearwater because Percy's all shooken up about it. And George thinks it's because she was a prefect. And what monster would dare attack a prefect?
But we know it's because they got a thing going on.
Mm-hmm. Bow chicka wham wham.
Mm-hmm.
Percy and Penelope. So Ron wonders if anyone suspects Hagrid, and Harry says, well, we should go talk to him, and he says, I can't believe it's him this time, but if he set the monster loose last time, he'll know how to get inside the Chamber of Secrets, and that's a start. So, time to break out the invisibility cloak again. Getting in trouble. So, Harry's obviously gone wandering around the castle at night many times before, but he mentions that he's never seen it this crowded at sunset. There were teachers and prefects and ghosts marching up and down the corridors. Ghosts. Even the ghosts are in on this. Yes.
I'm surprised that they are letting the prefects do this.
Yeah, actually, where's the head boy and head girl? They're not mentioned in this little paragraph.
I'm also surprised that ghosts don't know more about what's going on.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, the Grey Lady knew exactly where her mom's diadem was.
If ghosts can go in and out of walls, wouldn't they have seen the chamber?
Yeah, I would hope.
You know, Myrtle's down in those pipes all the time. She's gotta know there's a chamber.
Why wouldn't she say? She just wants people dead.
That's true.
Does anybody disagree with that? I think Myrtle, would love for Hermione to have, died, or Harry and Ron. To have died in the chamber.
Oh, she wanted Harry to, so she could share the U-bend.
Yeah.
But I thought I thought the part about this was funny, is when they're sneaking around in the invisibility cloak, Ron stubs his toe right by Snape, but it says, thankfully, Snape sneezed at almost exactly the same moment that Ron swore. And they made it safely out the front door.
Every time I read that, I'm like, I can't picture Snape sneezing.
I swear.
I just can't see him doing that.
What if he heard them and pretended to sneeze?
Maybe.
Dear
what if
Joe,
they knew?
Does Snape
what
sneeze?
I know that they Dumbledore told him essentially what Harry was for in the end or whatever, pig for slaughter, right? What I know, I'm making very light of such a serious thing.
Bacon.
But what if Snape knew everything that had to happen and Dumbledore somehow knew that these boys had to go and do this in the forest and let them go and Snape heard them sneaking around and he was like, achoo, I didn't hear you. I'm just letting them go. I like my theory. I'm sticking to it.
No way. You say that makes me think of in that play, A Very Potter Musical, that Snape, he'd be like, achoo! Oh, sorry, didn't mean to sneeze.
No, yeah. I know that's not true, but whatever. Or he was like, yeah, go ahead, sneak out and die.
That's probably more
that sounds
like
more
it.
Like it.
So Ron and Harry are greeted by a very different kind of Hagrid than they're used to. He's aiming a crossbow at them. So Hagrid seems agitated and that he's waiting for someone or something that's going to cause him harm or he doesn't want them around. He is fumbling to make them tea. He almost puts the fire out trying to make it. Keeps looking out the window. He then makes them tea but gets to put the tea bags in it, or I don't know if they use loose leaf. So it's just hot water.
Yum.
So they ask, Harry's like, have you heard about Hermione? And he's like, yeah, I heard. And he says it in a way that not as suspicious, but he's like, oh, I definitely heard. People made it known. I heard. So he tries to give them some fruitcake. Right as he's about to give them a piece, there's suddenly a knock on the door. They look panic stricken. Oh no, someone's gonna catch Ron and Harry out of bed. So they hide themselves under the invisibility cloak and they go into a corner, even though nobody puts baby in a corner, but whatever. And once Hagrid sees that they're actually hidden, he opens the door. In walks Dumbledore and a man that we learn shortly is Cornelius Fudge, the Minister of Magic.
Himself.
He's Ron's dad's boss. And he's the boss of many other people. So he's wearing a pinstripe suit, a scarlet tie. Are you going to bing?
Bong!
He's wearing a long black cloak, pointed purple boots, and he's carrying a lime green boulder under his arm. So he's there in bad business, Hagrid. Very bad business.
I hear the movie.
Yeah.
Yes. This scene is so good in the movie, almost verbatim.
Talk about all these colors.
Yeah, he just doesn't look good.
He
very well. This is what I was going to say.
Do it.
If you think about it, because I don't know if we've discussed the colors on here, and I don't know if she says anything about lime, but in Disney, like, what is it? Evil.
Evil.
Every villain is lime, and they all have lime. I was thinking about this when Lion King was on the other day, and I was looking at Scar's eyes. So he has that on. He's wearing a scarlet tie and the purple shoes. First of all, you probably look ridiculous, A.
Right.
B. Colors.
So many
purple
colors, but think
is
about
like
this.
For regal. So he's like minister, right?
What
so
is,
that's
what
his purple.
What does scarlet say?
Anger?
What does black say? Because you have to think about all these different colors and think about Fudge as a character.
Yeah.
He is an ongany Shrek kind of guy. He's got all these different layers to him. Because deep down, hate me if you want to, I think Fudge was a good person that got caught up in politics and people-pleasing.
Mm.
Whatever.
Kind
say what
schmuck.
You want.
Sounds
yes.
like a lot of politicians.
But I think deep down at his core, he wanted to do what was right, but he really didn't have a means to do it or a way to go about it, and he didn't want to not please the people for face. Because obviously everything he did was pretty much sucko. But think about all the different layers to this guy and all these different colors. He is all those colors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that. I always wonder why it was so bizarre and like, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I'm a genius.
Yeah, you
mic
are.
Drop. I'd drop this mic if it was mine, but it's there. Okay. Back to business.
So, bad business. There was so many attacks at the school, the ministry needs to act. So Hagrid gets upset. He wants to know, wants it known that he would never. He's saying, I would never. You know I would never. So he'd never hurt anyone. And Dumbledore throws all of his confidence behind Hagrid, saying that he knows that Hagrid is innocent. Unfortunately, Hagrid's record is against him. And they have to make it look like they're doing something to stop these attacks. Because realistically, they... How many months is it now that this stuff's been going on and they've done nothing?
Well, it was 4 months since the last attack.
Yeah.
This one just happened.
The double attack.
It's been like almost. When was the first one?
Halloween? No.
Something like that. Something October, probably.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, it was Halloween, wasn't it? Because it was Nicholas Flamel's, not Nicholas Flamel's, Nearly Headless Nick's death day party.
Yeah, Norris, Mrs. Norris.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, how many people actually know about this? Because then we hear from Draco saying that, like, not a lot of word has gotten out because they're trying to probably cover it up.
Hush it all up.
Yep. So Fudge is under a lot of pressure. And if it turns out that Hagrid is not behind these attacks, then he will be returned. And Hagrid's like, what do you mean? Where am I going? So we find out that Hagrid is going to Azkaban.
Hello.
Which is, like, a thought. Like, did he go there the first time? No. So, like, how many people know what happened the first time? And like, it's interesting to think about, who knows now all the stuff's going on, like how hush hush have they been able to keep it? Did they tell the kids parents that their kids were like sleeping for months in a coma basically?
Yeah, but what about the kid? Like, I get that the kids can write home to their parents, but like, how much did the school put out, you know?
Like, yeah,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's what I'm asking. Did they send out to the actual those students that were attacked parents, how much do the public know? It's interesting to think, because if you think about it, like, I would be almost a concerned parent, not even a parent, but like a concerned citizen, thinking like, what if whatever is attacking those kids gets out and start attacking other people?
Yeah.
Not in school.
Yeah.
So there's a second knock at the door and Dumbledore answers it. Sadly, it is Lucius Malfoy bringing his love of Muggleborns and Dumbledore into Hagrid's hut. So Lucius is his cheerful self, talking down to Hagrid and basically making fun of his house. So Lucius is there looking for Dumbledore and was told that he was at Hagrid's hut. Lucius has news from the governors of Hogwarts that all 12 are in agreement that it is time that Dumbledore stepped down. Fudge and Hagrid are outraged and think that Dumbledore stepping down is the worst thing that could happen to the school at this critical time. Dumbledore says if the governors want him to step down, then he will step down. However, said Dumbledore, speaking very slowly and clearly so that none of them could miss a word. I'm reading from the book if y'all didn't know. You will find that I will only truly have left this school when none here are loyal to me. You will always find that help will always be given at Hogwarts to those who ask for it.
Famous words.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite things. And it says, for a second, Harry was almost sure Dumbledore's eyes looked towards the corner where he and Ron were stood hidden. Malfoy's like, yeah, whatever. Let's go. So Malfoy bows Dumbledore out of the hut and follows him. Hagrid goes to leave, but stops to say,
how was your day?
He's like, if anyone wanted to find out some stuff, all they'd have to do would to be to follow the spiders. That'd lead them right. That's all I'm saying.
A little less poetic
than
Dumbledore. just a smidge.
So Fudge stared at him in amazement. All right, I'm coming, said Hagrid, pulling on his moleskin overcoat. But as he was about to follow Fudge through the door, he stopped again and said loudly, and someone will need to feed Fang while I'm away. I'd just like to add that part, because, you know, he thinks about his dog.
His dog.
So Hagrid leaves, Fudge follows, and once the door to the hut is closed, Ron pulls the cloak off, saying, with Dumbledore gone, there will be an attack a day. Fang howls at the closed door, and that's the end of the chapter.
That hurts my heart. Because all I think of is, like, Fozzie Bear being sad. Also, how terrified would you be if you were Hagrid? Let's just go right into it. Lightning bolt round.
Oh my god,
would you
poop
your pants?
Yeah,
they'd have to take me kicking and screaming.
Well, he'd be like, I'm getting framed again, you know?
Yeah.
It sucks.
Hey, that's double jeopardy.
This is what it says. True. Take me, said Hagrid, who was trembling. Take me where? And he croaked, not Azkaban.
Croaked. Like a frog. Yeah. It's not double jeopardy, because it's a different time. Same difference, though.
Sorry, all you law like I know. People.
Well, I don't know law. I don't commit no crimes. I'm not Grindelwald.
Did you hear what I just said?
No, what'd you say?
I'm dumb. I thought you were talking about the show, not like Double Jeopardy. Like,
I have to admit that I also thought you were talking about the show.
Tiffany, I had you. I understood you.
What is going on?
I want to know, like, the timeline when it happened the first time. With Hagrid getting expelled, we know it was the very end of school, and he didn't get in trouble because Dumbledore convinced Dippet to keep him on and train him. So, like, in an alternate universe, let's say Hagrid really was the culprit and he was the one that was setting these things. So you let a student that for years, 50 years, was, you know, accused of attacking to the point where someone died. And he's still at the school.
But he can't do magic.
Well, okay, he can't do magic, but yeah, he can.
Right. But they don't. That ain't just no but ordinary umbrella.
It's just interesting to me that didn't really get... So, like, how much were they telling people this time around?
What year was he?
It was in 1943, I think, that it happened, wasn't it?
I think he was only 13. He was the third year.
Yeah, he was the third year.
Okay, so he's pretty young. So it's not like he's, like, a 16 or 17-year-old, you know? You know what I mean? Look at this.
I don't have everything on here yet.
She is like, she's Ravenclawing out with these dates. She's got a whole list of dates.
Not that this has anything to do with being on topic, but I figured out that, so the Fantastic Beasts movies end in 1945, and that's the year that Tom Riddle graduates from Hogwarts. Fun fact.
Do you think they have a ceremony? We never get to see it.
They have to.
I would assume they do.
Also, that Bill the oldest. Bill Weasley is born the year that the Marauders and Lily and Snape and all of them start Hogwarts.
Oh. Okay. All right. Any more lightning bolt rounds? What do we got going on here?
What do you think that? How do you think he threatened those teachers? We don't know this yet, but I'm just thinking. How do you think he got them to write those?
He probably has dirt on their family that he said he would like. Tell people about.
I'm going to throw water on it and make it all muddy.
What do you guys think? That's my guess.
Instead of spiders, what would you rather follow?
Well, they didn't even answer your question.
I mean, is it really a question?
Yes! I would think that Lucius probably, like, probably threatens to, like, get rid of their job or something.
I think he would straight up threaten their lives. They know he's a dangerous dude.
Yeah, that too.
Dangerous dude. He's a double D.
I mean, I don't know if I think he's that dangerous. I don't think he would scare me.
Lucius?
Yeah. He's a schmuck. Like, he's like the one that's like, all talk, no action.
Yeah, but he's powerful at this moment in time. He's a head leader at this moment in time.
Yeah, this is his prime.
Yeah. This is his moment.
I think that talking about his power in this situation, as opposed to his power with, like, Voldemort, is very different.
Oh, yeah.
Because his power here really has nothing to do with his, like, guts, but has to do with his influence in terms of money and...
his wealth.
Yes, yeah. Tiffany.
I'm just saying, like, Lucius's power, like, going with his power is, at this point, like, high.
Mm-hmm.
And Voldemort returns...
Plummets.
Just plummets.
Yeah, agreed.
Not talking baby Voldy. I'm talking we're back real body graveyard guy.
Yep. He was a baby in the graveyard.
I said real body.
Babies have real bodies.
Should have put that baby in the corner.
Ayo! Just breaking drums, one drum at a time, guys. Sorry about that. Okay, what did you say? Follow what?
What would you rather follow besides spiders? Something
anything.
Creepy.
Oh, creepy. Worms.
You would take forever to get anywhere. creepy bats.
Bats. I would follow bats.
Getting places fast, guys.
I would say mice because they probably go quick.
Echolocation.
Okay, but, like, when we get to the end of following these things, are they going to be giant? So would I have to face a giant worm?
Yeah, so, okay, so maybe I would go with
way
mouse
better,
as well.
Katie.
Mine's just a giant worm. What's it going to do when I have teeth?
Could you wrap around you like a python.
Pull out that sword of Gryffindor. Pull a Neville. Boom.
You ain't got no sword,
you don't
lady.
Know.
Neither one of you do, actually.
What? I'll pull out my cup.
I'm talking to those two.
Yeah, you hit him over the head with that cup.
Yeah.
You can figure out which end is that.
Have you ever seen what a honey badger can do?
Guys, Fozzie Bear's here. Yay! All right, what other lightning bolt round questions do we have? I kind of asked a few along the way in mine.
Would you have broken the rules and gotten out?
Gotten out of what?
Being, like, brought everywhere.
Oh, dude, if I had to go, you know, I'd want to go alone, so probably.
As a teacher, Tiffany, how do you feel about chaperoning kids from everywhere? Oh, do you do that anyways, though?
No, but, in the building that I'm at now, I don't have to because we have bathrooms in our rooms. So that's, like, super convenient. But, like, at other schools where the bathrooms are, like, in the hallways, you'd have to take, like, your whole class down.
Oh, like, have a bathroom break?
And stand there, like, a couple of times a day, yeah. But then you would have, like, a pass to send them. So yeah. I assume they did, like, the whole...
They probably had
times during the day where they had to go. And then, like... But, like, who's taking them? Yeah. Is McGonagall taking everybody in Gryffindor Tower? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think that there's bathrooms in Gryffindor Tower.
I agree. But can you picture, like, the seventh years who are, like, getting walked to the bathroom by Snape?
Yeah.
or what if they are 7 years and they're trying to get a little freaky with their friend in the bathroom? And they have to, like, sneaky about it.
Room of requirement.
Like, think of how easy it is for Harry to, like, sneak around if him and Jenny wanted to get freaky with it. Where, like, other students don't have those luxuries of having an invisibility cloak.
I don't know.
Oh, but again, him and Jenny can, like, she's a Gryffindor. But at the same time, her brother's in the room. So
there's
kind
so
of...
much happening.
Sorry, guys, that you're.
We have to get technical
to this.
With this.
Things to think about. I don't know, man.
Any other questions, or should we go to the fan story?
Fan story! So this one comes from, I'm going to totally butcher your name, Jana
Peltikongas.
Yes. It's a really cool looking last name, but I just can't speak.
We don't know how to speak.
Okay, so... My Harry Potter story started with my mom reading the first book to me after we borrowed the book from my older cousin when I was 7. Ding. This was when the first 6 books were already out and the first 4 movies, so I guess you can say I was a bit late to the party. But hey, I was 7. I wasn't even born when the first book came out, so can you blame me? That's crazy.
I missed a 7, I'm sorry. I'm not good at the bell!
No, you're fine. It's okay. Needless to say, I became obsessed. I used to spend recess in elementary school running around the school with a stick, pretending it was a wand and that I was Hermione Granger. My mom read a chapter for me every night before I went to bed, and after every book, we watched the movie. When we got about halfway into the fourth book, my obsession became overwhelming, and I just had to know what would happen next. So I started reading the books on my own, and my mom and I kept separate bookmarks in the book and competed in who could finish it first. Now I've read the series multiple times, listened to a bunch of different Harry Potter podcasts, including yours, of course, and I'm just as in love with it as I was when my mom first read it to me 11 years ago. Cute.
I love that.
Yeah, me too. I love, like, okay, so a lot of my experience being the age I am is, like, a lot of people I know are like, yeah, I grew up with it. I was 11 when they were 11, and, mm-hmm, like, that's what I know. So to hear someone who wasn't even born when the book came out, and, like, they still love it because their mom brought it to them, like, that's what I hope to do with our kids, you know?
Definitely.
So it's really cool to see that relationship and to, like, see that they shared a book and, like, had different bookmarks. That's super cute. Mm-hmm. I hope, like, neither of you spoiled it for the other, because that's, Meg spoils some things for me.
Sorry.
I still love you. It's okay.
Love you.
But thank you very much for sharing your story. Super cute.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Tis other project time.
Shameless plugs.
Yeah.
Shameless plugs.
Tiff,
do you
want to go first?
Sure. So you can also find me on a podcast called Box Trick. It is all about video games, and they cover everything from PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo, and I am on the Nintendo portion. Currently doing a playthrough of the OG Pokemon games, yes. Red and Blue. I am playing Blue. See, I'm so bad. Matt Brady is playing Red, and we're going.
Pardon?
We're going gym by gym. And it's just, it's kind of like a little walkthrough, playthrough, information about each Pokemon. It's pretty epic. I'm also on a podcast called Rebel Watch with my friend Ezra Kirk. And Michael Canterbury does stuff, but he and I haven't recorded together yet. Michael, I know you listen to Swish and Flick. I'm waiting for the day, my friend. Let's podcast. Anyways, Ezra and I are going through a journey through Star Wars. We're getting deep and sweaty and going movie by movie.
Sweet.
That's my stuff. Schwing.
So Katie and I have a couple other projects as well. We have a vlog on YouTube called Main Street 9 3/4. And right now, it's kind of morphed because we don't have any plans to go to Florida, so we're not, woo-hoo. I know, so we're not getting any more Florida footage for a while. So we've kind of turned it into an Ohio bucket list channel. So we're going to, like, try and go and do all the fun things in Ohio, because I feel like whenever
you... These are things we've always wanted to do.
Yeah, and, like, when you live in a state, you don't always explore your state enough. So we wanted to get deep and sweaty with Ohio and go to those places and check them out. So right now it's going to be a lot of that, but it's also going to document a lot of parts of our trip over to Scotland and England, and then Florida when we go again.
And
we're actually
stuff.
Discussing Halloween Horror Nights because they just announced Stranger Things as one of the houses, and I'm like, I must be there. So,
last plug.
Yeah.
Me and Meg also have a Disney podcast called Grown Up Kids, and we are going through the movies, animated, live action, hybrid, chronologically, and just analyzing them, finding fun facts, learning more about it. It's real cool.
Today, the episode for Bambi came out, so while you're, if you're listening to this,
oh yeah,
you can also go and listen to the episode on Bambi.
Mm-hmm.
Bambi makes me cry.
Oh, I know.
I've seen it one time.
Fun fact that I'm going to share with you guys that I'm also going to share on the Grown Up Kids podcast. Bambi was supposed to be Walt's second animated film, but it took so long to animate, it didn't come out until his fifth animated film.
Holy shnikes.
Yeah. So, fun facts with Megan over on Grown Up Kids.
There you go. Go listen.
It's my turn.
It's your turn. Go ahead. You do it.
My other plug slash projects is I'm planning on taking over the world.
Wait, you were Florence.
If you would like to donate to the Sarah Takes Over the World Fund, contact us at...
Do you want to be my friend? Do you want to help me take over the world? One Florence friend at a time. No, oh, I'm not man. On any other podcast, because you know what? I am true to this one. It's really nobody wants to talk to me.
So if you would like Sarah on your podcast, don't, because she's ours. Back off.
You pay enough, I'd go.
Oh my God.
I'm willing to relocate. It helps my plans for world domination.
Okay, but we get to keep rights to Florence. Sorry.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Florence has been and always will be with me and me.
Florence is my past, present, and future.
This got really weird. Really.
She's my second child, I would say. Suzanne is my first.
Oh,
Suzanne.
I don't even...
Bud's the third.
You're lucky we are... What is this? 37 episodes deep into this podcast, because if you would have went there on the first one, people would have been like, what? Bye.
People say that now, and I'm like, I literally don't mean to sound crazy, but she's got a personality of her own, you know?
Guys.
I love it.
Disbelief.
Like Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire. He does all the voices for the cartoons.
Yeah.
That's you.
Could be.
All right. Well, on that note, that concludes this week's episode. So thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.